Welcome back to Comic Book Storylines, everybody. I'm glad to have you here. I'm Brian Sorensen. You also know me as Bri the Comic Book Guy. You can reach out to me on my Instagram, at Bri the Comic Book Guy. Or I'm on Threads now, at Bri the Comic Book Guy. You can see me on there. Or you can email me, BriTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. So this week, we're going to start a multi-week adventure again. These storylines are pretty complex and long, so we're going to take some time to delve into these. Now, the next storyline we're going to start talking about is something called Onslaught. Now, Onslaught is something that had kind of been building up for a while, and you can kind of see that after a little bit of time, looking back at all the hints they dropped and everything, but they left some subtle hints of what was going on or what they were leading up to. What was different about Onslaught is it initially looked like it was going to be an X-Men crossover, but then we got treated to it being an entire line-wide event. We thought it was just going to be internally to the X-Men, but things started happening where it started delving into, and it was starting to look like it was going to be more all-inclusive to the Marvel Universe, due to little hints and things there. So what I mean about it being an X-Men event is something they teased way back in the early days of 1992, right after Bishop, the time-traveling Bishop, first appeared. We're going to start off with the hints and building up to of Onslaught before we dive into the full event, because I think it's fun to see how they teased it and kind of built up this big momentum to the big thing. So this week is going to be primarily the building up of and the little hints and things that kind of led up to the main event. So we're going to start off with Uncanny X-Men 287. Now, the main Onslaught event happened in like 1996. Kind of a little bit after Age of Apocalypse. And one of the hints started years before that, way back in 1992. So we're going to start off with Uncanny X-Men 287. Bishop has been in the present time for just a little bit. X-Men are chasing after him. Now, at this point, he doesn't think the X-Men are who they say they are, and he doesn't believe he's in the right time frame and everything. But he had an experience where he was severely injured, and he was kind of reliving a moment of his past, but our future, where he's chasing the villain Trevor Fitzroy through a series of tunnels, and they're running into what's called New Salem. They don't know where this area is, because in the future, Bishop is part of this mutant police force called the XSE, Xavier Security Enforcers. We'll get into that. That's a whole other thing going on right now. But Bishop is on the move trying to find this one big bad guy. And he and his partners, Malcolm and Randall, stumble onto this series of caverns and tunnels, which eventually ended up being revealed to the access tunnel from the Morlock Tunnels in New York City to the grounds of the mansion that the X-Men have used many times over the years. We've seen it in a bunch of different events, most primarily in Mutant Massacre. So they've never seen these before. They've never seen it on the map. But they end up capturing Fitzroy, and he thumps into a computer terminal, and it turns on. And it pops up Jean Grey. And it's a very garbled message, and I'll read the whole message because it's what we were teased with for about 4 years. It's Jean Grey, and she's going, "Alex, Cable, anyone?" And it's barely garbled communications. It's, "Don't even know, transmission being received, taken total, unaware, both teams, and decimated, mansion security deactivated from within, betrayed by one of our own." And they're like, "Wait a minute, is this Jean Grey? Have we stumbled onto the war room of the X-Men?" And she continues, "Professor Xavier was the first to die. Only one left, powers negated, our own fault really, never should have trusted, we knew so little about," and then an explosion, and she goes, you may have killed the X-Men, but the dream will never die," and it fades out like somebody killed her. So then they're like, "Who killed Professor Xavier?" So you're like, "Oh, okay." So later on in that little vision, Bishop goes to see who the witness is in this prison called the Pool. And he goes in to talk to somebody, and his name is LeBeau. Gambit. So we see a future Gambit who's in prison, and Bishop says, I discovered the Xavier Sanctum. And he goes, yep, no secrets safe from me. He goes, but I have evidence that suggests they were murdered by another X-Men. I knew it. I saw it. What of it? Was the traitor ever caught? But he never answers Bishop. So Bishop came to the present with the knowledge that the X-Men were betrayed. And he, since that issue, up until everything that we're going to discuss in the coming weeks, he thought Gambit was the traitor of the X-Men. Now, it was a little thing that was progressing throughout the years, little hints and everything. Bishop was obsessed with trying to find out who the traitor of the X-Men was and hell-bent on finding out who it was. We'll get to eventually catching up with that because the message is something that comes up a little bit later. So let's flash forward to it was just after the return to normal with the Age of Apocalypse. Flash forward to 1995. They started leaving more hints. And it was just after the X-Men and everything got returned to normal. Beast, Psylocke, and Bishop are at a movie in New Jersey. And this thing comes crashing down. And it ends up being Juggernaut. They have this huge battle with him and everything. They finally get him down, because he keeps screaming, he's still out there, he's coming. It's not possible I'm in New Jersey because I was in Canada when I tussled with him. And they're like, who's he? So Bishop manages to knock him out, and he's like, okay, Juggernaut, who is out there, and who was the one that attacked you? And he said, Onslaught. So that was the first time we had heard Onslaught's name. So we keep going into progression of little hints and everything. We're only going to touch on a bunch of them. There's only little snippets in the next few issues. X-Force number 46, we see the mutant character Mimic. He's got these weird new abilities and everything, and he seems scared of something. But at the end of the issue, he ends up vanishing, and they're like, what could make somebody just disappear like that? Mimic didn't want to fight. He only wanted to be left alone, and now he's gone, and we have no answers. And they even had, at this time, Caliban from the Morlocks was on X-Force, and he just couldn't find Mimic anymore. So they're like, okay, so what would make Mimic disappear? Next ends up being X-Men, the Volume 2, number 46. Senator Robert Kelly takes a team of investigators into this safe house. It's an operation. It's like a high security Sentinel augmentation research facility. Like, you know, Sentinels are definitely the bad guy of the X-Men universe. So they were talking to somebody from that center, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Like everything turned off. 15 of the United States' most highly regarded scientists just disappeared out of thin air. The power is off in this facility. They get everything back up and running. Every computer screen is showing the same word, and they're like, okay, that cuts them down the number of questions we need to be answered drastically. Who or what is Onslaught? So not only is Onslaught messing with their bad guys, now is Onslaught making characters disappear. Now there's a Sentinel research facility that goes completely off the grid, and he wakes up, the power turns back on, and he's kind of leaving like a calling card. So the next one is X-Force 52. Now this is jumping around to the X-Men titles because we think that this is going to be a huge X-Men event coming up. X-Force, the girls in X-Force, we've got Siren, who's the daughter of Banshee, Domino, and Meltdown. They run into Blob, whose powers seem to be augmented by somebody. They don't know who, but Blob has all these different abilities, and they have a little tussle with them, and they're like, okay, who's the one that did this to you? Who did this? But he's not really being forthcoming, but you see that Mimic shows up. Domino is trying to interrogate Blob, but then Mimic shows up, and she can. There's like this little, psychic discussion here. And he's screaming into their heads, you don't have to worry about Blob any longer, I'm taking him off your hands. Our employer isn't going to be happy with you, Blob. And then they go away, like, okay. So Mimic and Blob, whose powers seem to be both augmented, are working for somebody that still doesn't want to be talked to yet. Now, I forgot to mention this. When The girls from X-Force came into this facility. They dropped down into this big, like, abandoned facility, and painted on all the walls is the name Onslaught. So it's the next kind of little hint that we got that obviously this is the dude's name that we're dealing with here. But who is he? What is he doing? What's going on here? So another little premise thing that's going on here is after the Age of Apocalypse, when everything got put back right, since Bishop was the focal point on how it all ended, Bishop was plagued with some of the memories from the Age of Apocalypse. He thought he was slowly going insane due to all these memories, and he kept kind of saying, like, I wish the professor could help me sort this out. And since the Age of Apocalypse up until this point, Bishop was plagued with, am I going crazy? He was at a bar with Beast, and he's has like flashbacks of the Age of Apocalypse, like the memories that his other, like the character Bishop from the Age of Apocalypse kind of blended with the new Bishop and the new timeline. So he's having little flashbacks of the Age of Apocalypse. Since he's with Beast, he calls him an agent of Apocalypse, leave him be, because Beast obviously was one of the bad guys in the Age of Apocalypse. So he runs into this bartender at the bar, and he thinks that she's been following him. So he kind of has this little coma-like meltdown and ends up passing out, and she takes him home to her apartment, which is kind of weird too. Somebody that blows up your bar, what's the last thing you do is take them home with you. Now, while that's going on, we go up to the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, which at this point, the X-Men home had been turned into the Xavier Institute where the X-Men live. Now, the next generation of X-Men, Generation X, was in White Queen's old Massachusetts Academy, which was renamed Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. Banshee and White Queen are the leaders and the teachers of Generation X. Now, they have this one character, Chamber, who has some sonic abilities, and they also have this character who's been showing up off and on, but hung out with Generation X for a long time, the Australian Outback dude Gateway, who can open these portals everywhere with this little sling thing that he has. Now, we saw him in the Age of Apocalypse too, but in the normal universe, Gateway doesn't talk. They can't talk to him. He just kind of does things on his own, and something's like there's like this electric thing going on outside the Xavier Institute. Banshee goes over to see what's up, and a couple of the Generation X members, Chamber and Monet, are standing right next to Gateway, and they're like, okay, what's he doing? Now, Gateway opens up a portal and swallows up Chamber, and they're asking Gateway what's going on, and M, who has like the Monet, who has these little sonic powers, she goes, I was able to get one word from Gateway's mind before they both disappeared. It was Onslaught. You're like, oh snap, that's not cool. So this doesn't have a ton of relevance to the Onslaught storyline, but it does have some significance a little bit later on to just make sure everybody's caught up to speed. The Beast from the Age of Apocalypse was one of the people that escaped into the normal time frame, and he had been the one who's monitoring Bishop because he's hiding from Mr. Sinister. They're all afraid of Mr. Sinister. The current one or the Age of Apocalypse one, they're still messing with that. So Dark Beast is watching Bishop through the eyes of who ends up in actuality being a spy named Fatal. And she's like, hey, you might want to take a look at this because Bishop's not alone. And she sees that he is with another beast. And the Dark Beast is looking and he goes, wait a minute. Is that a copy of me? And he goes, well, this changes things. Now, I'm going to briefly go into that before I go into the next issue. The Dark Beast ends up planning and does successfully capture the main continuity beast. And since the Dark Beast is all gray and Age of Apocalypse looking, he makes himself appear to be like the regular beast and ends up infiltrating the X-Men, pretending to be the other beast. So that's kind of like the thing you're going to have to think about when we go towards the beginning of the main events of the story. So things kind of calmed down for a little bit, but ended up ramping up in X-Men issue 50. Now it starts out with on the cover, Meet the Herald of Onslaught. And it starts out right away. Professor X is the narrator for most of it. Cyclops looks like he's been beaten. He's in his PJs. hanging from a tree without his visor. And Iceman and Storm are in a similar predicament. They don't remember how they got there. They don't remember what happened. And they can't figure out where they are even. They don't even know where they are. But then you find out that Wolverine is with them. Wolverine pops up. And he wasn't even at the mansion when he was ambushed by whoever. And he looks like he was beat up too. So they roll over Iceman, who's unconscious, to see if he could figure out who it was. But Iceman's chest, in his ice form, is completely shattered. Like, you can see totally through it. So they're already like, what's going on here? Now, meanwhile, they're all in their PJs, and this is going on. Then we go back to the mansion. We see Gateway pop up. Gateway is in Professor Xavier's bedroom. That's a little insulting. And then you don't even knock on the door. You just teleport into the man's bedroom. Here's Professor Xavier, right? So he teleports in and he's talking to Gateway, you're not going to take me. Bishop comes in, guns blaring, and Gateway deflects all the bullets and they're like, okay, you have like the count of three to tell me what's going on and what have you done with the others? Because they've already seen that the others have been abducted from the mansion. Gateway is the one that ended up teleporting them away. Phoenix comes in, Jean Grey, knocks Gateway unconscious, and they stopped him from teleporting the professor away. So the X-Men that are disappeared, it's Wolverine, Storm, Cyclops, and Iceman, they're getting kind of tense. And Wolverine and Storm are talking, and Wolverine is getting like really ticked off, and he lunges at Storm, but it's not Storm that he's lunging at. He goes behind her, and he's holding on to somebody that's invisible. So she pushes him into him, and there's like this cloaking field around him. So he ends up popping his claws, and they're bone, by the way, because of the events in Fatal Attractions when Magneto ripped the skeleton metal bones out of Wolverine. He discovered that his claws were bone and that he had bone claws. And that is when Professor Xavier shut down Magneto's mind in like a moment of frustration, like, never again are you going to do this. So this is still kind of like an after effect of all that. So this cloaking field drops and Wolverine is being grabbed by this guy named Post, but he doesn't say what his name is right away. He says, Onslaught is impressed. You were able to disable my cloaking device barely into the test. So like, oh, so Onslaught, this is the guy that wounded Juggernaut. And he goes, no. You misunderstood me. That's my creator. I am only transmitting the results of this test to him. I am just a little extension of the glory that is Onslaught. So he pushes them both away, re-engages his cloaking device. So they're like, okay, so we're being tested. And now while that's going on, Banshee gets on the horn and he's talking to the X-Men about when Chamber was taken. So then this is after the issue ended, where Banshee says, Chamber was taken. And then he was brought right back as if nothing happened. So they're trying to figure out why the four X-Men that were taken were taken. So Gateway regains consciousness and all the X-Men are there. And they're asking him all these questions. And then suddenly Professor X and Jean Grey, they get this like tingle from a mental assault. And this kind of rainbow looking mask of sonic energy appears between Gateway and them. Gambit and Bishop get ready to attack. They're like, okay, we know better. We're X-Men. This is a sonic being, so we're not going to be able to do anything. So back to the X-Men that are dealing with Post. Iceman and Cyclops kind of come up to Wolverine and Storm, and Wolverine explains the situation. And the X-Men, this issue shows how much of like a team player they all are and how they can all just like do the same thing and like know what each other's doing and kind of get into this team vibe. Because don't forget, it's not like the Avengers or things like that. The X-Men live together, they're friends, they're family. So they've been working together and doing these things for years. So they prime up all of their powers to trick Post and end up knocking him out of his cloaking device. And he's just full on attacking them as it is. And Cyclops and Wolverine are kind of taking it to him. But then back at the mansion, Beast comes out and he figures out what's going on. Storm, Iceman, and Cyclops are energy manipulators, with Wolverine tossed in for tactile and sensory response and contrast. Now he says, the most fascinating aspect of this Onslaught is that he seems to be this omnipotent character, to be really powerful, but he ends up storms in, taking everyone as he leaves. So Why would he be doing this? And maybe he took them to the source of his power, which they're like, okay, did they take him somewhere where Onslaught is in control? But it ends up being Post, because Post can manipulate environments around him. So it was kind of meant to be a test of Post's ability to be in a stable environment and throw the X-Men off guard. But Storm, Wolverine, Cyclops, and Iceman, they get the best of them. And they end up ticking Post off. Like, he goes, okay, now I'm just going to kill you. Onslaught wanted me to test you, but you guys really ticked me off. They do end up coming back and rallying against Post. Now, back at the mansion, they are saying Gateway's best efforts to deliver Chamber to this Onslaught, because he has this raw sonic energy, didn't happen. So why would he reject him and then come back for the professor? So like, okay. And Gateway is not being affected by this at all. And Beast is like, all right, tell me if we're getting warmer or colder. Now they're getting frustrated. The X-Men have this one last bit, and they end up taking out Post, and they teleport back to the mansion. And they're like, okay, who's Post? And like, somebody who knew more about us than we should, because he was spouting all this knowledge as if he knew who the X-Men were and knew them intimately. So they're like, okay, he claims to be an extension of this unseen entity called Onslaught. So then that rainbow face starts talking. Gateway, you assured me these creatures were ready, that they could hold the last line of defense against my coming. You were wrong. They did survive, yet their performance was rudimentary at best. As Post explained, X-Men, he was one of the lowest of my emissaries, but prepare yourself for the inevitable. The Onslaught is coming, and no power on Earth, nor any other capable of stopping it. No one, human, mutant, or otherwise, can turn back the Onslaught. And he just leaves. Like, the sonic energy just leaves the mansion. So you see the X-Men are kind of just sitting there all ticked off, like, oh, okay, so this guy's Onslaught, so what's next? Which I am getting to. The next up is Uncanny X-Men 333. This is a couple of months, I'd say like 2 months after those events. The X-Men are still on their guard. The little hints and everything for Onslaught are still building up. But the X-Men still have to go along with like their daily lives. They can't just live in fear of this. But it's always what's coming next. So we see Senator Kelly is asking for the X-Men to come to see him. So Cyclops goes to Senator Kelly's home, and he's petrified or something. He goes, I need your help. And Cyclops is like, okay, what's going on here? Now, while that's going on, Storm and some of the other X-Men, Cannonball, who's a new member of the team, Beast, who is the duplicate Beast at this point, Iceman and Wolverine, they're in a cloaked Blackbird above the Pentagon, sneaking into a secret government thing that Gambit and Jean Grey are getting into. And it's this kind of like teases what happens a little bit after Onslaught, and we'll get to that a little bit later on this year, called Operation Zero Tolerance. It's like the government's final straw against mutants. And Gambit and Jean Grey are pretending to be military personnel to go check out what's going on there. Because as I said, the Onslaught thing, it's kind of in the background, but they have more important things to deal with. And we go to Colorado briefly. Angel and Psylocke, they're a couple now. And through a couple of different events and everything in the X-Men storylines, they're kind of recuperating from injuries that they've had. And Psylocke has this vision of somebody really huge in the shadows screaming, help me, and she blacks out. They're like, okay, that's the little Onslaught tie-in for that one. So Gambit and Jean Grey, they go into this undisclosed room of the Pentagon, and they finally meet the architect of Operation Zero Tolerance. Ends up being this guy named Bastion. He's kind of showed up a few times here and there talking about Operation Zero Tolerance. And then he starts talking about Onslaught. And he starts off with, while there are many problems currently facing humans and mutants right now, everything from self-professed evil mutants to the legacy virus that stands to decimate humans and mutants, now we're dealing with this thing called Onslaught. Despite our united intelligence data, we don't know if we're dealing with a single individual or an organization. It is clear that this is the destructive, malevolent force that is making its presence felt all over the planet. Now, Gambit has this little internal monologue. How can Onslaught be doing all this without the professor knowing about it? Like, okay. So what's going on there? How come the professor doesn't know about it? And above the Pentagon meeting, the professor is saying, I'm concentrating. I'm trying to mentally eavesdrop on the presentation below. And Storm's like, I thought you couldn't do it. And he goes, shush, I was wrong. Cease this distraction. So Bastion is talking about how a scientist was found from that Sentinel research plant with no memory of the 6 months she spent working at the project. So somebody was able to go in and erase all of the scientist's 6 months of memories. And Bastion pulls out an energy weapon and immediately points it at Gambit and Jean Grey, and he knows who they are. They're compromised. So they end up making it out of the meeting, and they come out of the Pentagon. But there's this whole army of UN soldiers that's totally sleeping. Like, everybody's sleeping. Gambit is like, what's going on here? But he can't see. Onslaught appears to talk to Jean Grey. And he's like, your allies can't see me. And Jean's like, it was you who made these soldiers passed out, who helped us escape. And he goes, yes. He goes, consider it a gift. And she goes, why? And then we turn to Psylocke and Angel. They kind of recoup from what's going on, and this large shadowy figure is looming over them, and she goes, "This something tells me whatever's living in the shadows, it's not going to be friendly." And it ends up not being friendly. I'm just going to spoil on that one. So we're going to get to maybe a few more issues, since a lot of these are just teasers. We're going to get to Excalibur 99. Where what they did was, in their brilliant wisdom to get people to buy a bunch of different other books, is they put Onslaught updates inside of what's going on and everything. And there's nothing really that ties this issue to the Onslaught appearances, other than one of Excalibur's bad guys is kind of in the background doing whatever that they're doing. And it turns out that that bad guy is working for Onslaught. And Onslaught appears. So it's the first time you actually get to see this full armor of what Onslaught looks like. It's like this big, muscular, like claw-looking thing with a helmet on. It looks kind of reminiscent of Magneto with the helmet on and everything. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. So he's pointing to this bad guy, and he goes, soon, there should be a gathering. Are you ready? Now, this Onslaught seems to be going around and just pulling all of these people out of the X-Men universe, bad guys and everything, on what is going on and who's doing what. So I think that's where we're going to leave it off with this week. There's still a bunch more lead-ins to talk about, but we'll cover the rest of the lead-ins that lead up to the beginning of the event next week. So like I said before, this was a different type of event. Usually the first issue of whatever the crossover or event is kind of like a little brief ramp up, something happens, and then the rest of the event is figuring out who's doing what, how to fix it, how to defeat the bad guy, or whatever. So this was like very calculating. Like, they dropped little subtle hints, and this Onslaught was slowly making his rounds to all of the X-Men bad guys, all of the X-Men characters, kind of like toying with them. And it does seem like he's really toying with them, and he's testing them too, as we saw in X-Men 50. He's testing some of the best X-Men, two of the older ones, the oldest ones, the first one, and some of the fiercest ones, obviously Wolverine. And he's also testing some of the younger ones. Like, he goes and takes Chamber, but then brings him right back, but then tries to go for the Professor. So he's like, what does he want with the Professor? And if he's that much of a psychic, like, big baddie, like, what could he possibly do to the Professor if he tries to take him? Obviously, Professor X is really powerful, or else he would have taken him already. But then there's little subtle hints that have been left behind that Onslaught's doing things, but the Professor isn't saying anything, and he's not doing anything about it other than just kind of listening in. So we'll get to what that all means in next week's episode. As I always say, you can reach out to me at Bri the Comic Book Guy on Instagram and on Threads now. You can look me up, Bri the Comic Book Guy, at gmail.com. If you have any other questions about Onslaught, if you read this when you were younger, because this was one of my first, like, line-wide crossovers, besides Secret Wars 2 way back in the day. So this was, like, when I was a mid-teenager, able to fully understand what was going on with all these things going on, and I was big into X-Men. So I was already collecting everything X-Men, so I was full in on this. So a whole lot of crossover with the X-Men, and then it turns into a line-wide event so that I can start seeing all the other titles and all the other Marvel superheroes, which we'll start seeing being brought into this thing in the weeks to come. So until then, thanks for listening.